Now, for the young in heart and weak in the head, it's Round the Horse. Last week, we left swarthy, bearded Betty Marsden and dusky tigress Hugh Paddock trapped in the Vienna sewers, played by nubile Kenneth Williams without a safety net. Suddenly, a grating above their heads creaked open, and there, silhouetted against the sky, stood a figure that was half man, half beast, and half cut. It opened its yawning maw as it gibbered the words that turned her blood to ice.
Hello, this is Kenneth Hall. And welcome to Round the Horn. Now, incidentally, that was Dr. Smith, who appeared by kind permission at the Alice Tring School of Embalming and Social Club. Now, firstly, here are the answers to last week's quiz. The answer to question one was in three parts: the 3:30 from Paddington, the wheel tapper's daughter, and not while the train is standing in the station. The answer to question two was 4 and 6 a yard, and the other answers were henna rinse, bagshot, a duck-billed platypus, not, as many of you thought, a device for opening a Malacca walking stick. Now, these days I seldom have the opportunity...
Oh, poor old devil, it's a shame. don't
laugh at him, he might turn nasty. Oh. Shall I pour a bucket of water over him?
No, leave him alone, he'll go away of his own accord.
Well, it doesn't look as though I'm going to get the opportunity today. Anyway, I wanted to mention one of the forgotten men of British science, Robert Capability Lackwind, the man who gave the world Toad in the Hole.
You can have it back any time.
Anyhow, holes there were in plenty, but not a toad as far as the eye could see. Capability experimented with all kinds of crude toads, but people scoffed. Look at his crude toad, they sneered. It's a mockery. But he persevered with true British grit, and in 1862 he produced the first gritty British sausage. Or Lackwind's Folly, as it was known. Lackwind passed away soon after when he fell into a vat of pudding mixture and was found battered to death.
Hey, have you finished?
Yes.
Good, I hope we're going to be stuck here all night.
Well, I'm sorry.
But it's not for me, it's Hugh Paddock. He gets very bitter if he's kept hanging about.
No, it's not that. It's just that I took these tablets to you just before the show.
Right, I'll bear that in mind. Now, continuing our series, The Backroom Boys of the BBC, we swing the spotlight onto that much abused but nevertheless essential department, the censors, whose job it is to force out hidden dirt. Wherever there is honnoir, there you'll find them malle-pensing. Come with us now down the corridors of power to a small back room in Broadcasting House.
Are you still in there?
Oh, shut up. Where the censors are in session.
All right, gentlemen, simmer down. There's too much filth going out on the air, and it's our job to stop it. Only this morning I heard a reference to a lady's ankle.
Oh, depravity.
Lewdness.
Where's it going to end? That's what I ask.
Yeah. What about the suggestive titles of programs?
Suggestive? What? Yes. Could you give me an example?
Well, have a go. Now, tell me, what's the implication of that?
Well, I don't see any harm in saying have a go. I mean, it's not going to corrupt the listeners. Anybody who listens to have a go is beyond corruption.
No. Ah, gentlemen, I think we ought to do something about take your partners. Gentlemen, who are they fooling? Take your partners for what?
Well, surely it's just old-time dancing, isn't it?
Ah! Dancing with each other, holding each other close, their hot breath on each other's necks, ah. The proximity of warm flesh through the bombazine. Ah.
Quick, somebody. A damp sponge on the back of his neck.
Oh, oh, that's better. Now, what else have we got?
A program called 5 to 10.
Oh, a suggestion of betting. Strike it out.
Let it be stricken.
Out with it!
Yay!
Out with
it! Let it be cast out, brothers, for is it not sinful?
Yay!
And is it not written that we should go forth and scourge the fleshpots of the BBC with whips and scorpions?
Yay!
Yay! Yay! Hellfire and brimstone shall be their lot.
Yay! Yay!
But are we not all sinners?
Yay!
I too a bird, but I pleaded the headaches.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
That was the BBC's censorship department, about whom I would like to say, well, I can't because it was censored. Now, trends, fashion.
Trouser suits are out.
Oh, blast, I just bought one myself.
But don't throw away that silk creation you bought last year.
There, I told you not to throw it away, Elf.
Well, I had to, didn't I? I had to have room to hang up my Balenciagas.
Now. After the Balenciagas, we come to trends in the home. Domestic help is becoming increasingly hard to find. When my au pair went back to Mongolia, frankly, I was at a loss. And so, I got on to Rent-A-Chap. Now, that's a firm that specializes in hiring out male domestics. You know the sort of thing, out-of-work actors filling in between engagements. Anyhow, I rang them up, and the next morning...
Hello, we're from Rent-A-Chair. I'm Julian, this is my friend Sandy.
Yes. Yes. That's right, we've come to do for you.
Yeah, that's never Kennethorne.
Yes, it is.
Oh, he now look old, doesn't he? I wonder if they're his own teeth.
Ask him.
Oh, I don't like.
Oh, go on.
No.
Look, I heard what you said.
Oh, he was earwigging.
Have you just popped round to make comments on my personal appearance, or are you going to do the housework?
Well, we're 7 or 6 an hour, you know.
Yeah, not cheap.
Did Miss Brahms at the agency warn you?
Yes, we agreed terms. Now, quit coming before the neighbours see you.
Oh.
Now, are you experienced in this sort of work?
Well, not exactly. You see, we're filling in between engagements. We do commercials, mostly. Mm-hmm. May have seen us on the telly. You know that ad where she's got it, only no one will tell her, only somebody does, then she has a bath?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, well, then she gets me dressed as a rugby fullback.
Mm. Yes, he took his part lovely. And I'm in the one where I'm alone in the room with this beautiful girl, and we put out the lights and test chocolates. No, yes. Yes, to find out what are the hard and soft centers.
Well, I'm not at all surprised either. Now, let me show you what I want doing. Through here's the kitchen.
No, I'm afraid not.
No.
Kitchen sink isn't us. No, we're more of a drawing room comedy.
Well, do the best you can. Here's the dishcloth.
We can wash up in here. All the dishes are dirty.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I'm sorry. I'd have washed up if I'd known.
Well, it's the grease, you see. It turns his stomach over.
Well, I wouldn't want to upset him at all. Perhaps you'd better start on the living room.
Oh, yes, that's much more. Oh, look, Sandy, a parquet floor.
Oh,
boner.
Mm.
Oh, I wish I'd known. Oh, if I'd known, I'd have brought me tap shoes.
Well, if it's all the same to you, I don't want you to dance on it. I want you to polish it.
I'm not going down on my hands and knees. Just bag me Levi's.
Well, dust something then. There, the piano.
Oh, a piano.
Ain't she sweet? The down the street, and I asked him very confidentially, ain't she sweet?
Stop it, stop it.
Ain't she not? Look at everyone got drag.
Really? It's a nice way to treat an artiste, I must say. Bring us here under false pretenses, treat us like judges.
Don't, Julian, don't. No, don't get yourself worked up.
Well.
No. Come on. If you frown, you'll get crow's feet.
I don't care. It's too much. It's all too much. We haven't been put on this earth to wash these dirty dishes, to scrape each porridge saucepans. I'm not staying in this house another minute. Come on, Sandy. Good day, Mr. Hall. Mm. Good day.
Oh, it's you again. What is it?
Yes, we just wanted to know. What time do you want us tomorrow?
And now, trends in music. Here again is that doyen of folk singers whose homespun tunes have made him one of the highest paid entertainers in the country, Rambling Sid Rumper.
Hello, me dearie, and shall my dangle lie fallow till old Tom goes a sickly now?
Well, I've got no comment to make at this time. But where have your peregrinations taken you lately?
Why, since I last been here, I've been a rambling and a wandering and a gypsying up and down the country, a driving of my continental Bentley, Dilly dilly daffy down my spong.
Beg your pardon?
I'm just being picturesque.
Oh, good.
Just an affectation, oh, a doodle-o, a ruff-a-duff, foldy-riddle-i-ho-do, chirrup-chirrup.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
Yes. Now, I'm going to sing you a sad sea shanty sung by the herring fishermen of Hampstead Garden Suburb. Yes, it's a plaintive lament on account of Hampstead Garden Suburb be landlocked. Amongst other things. This story tells of a poor fisherman what comes home one night with an empty net, and his wife says to him, "What have you caught me, Billy-o? What have you caught me, darling Willie?" To which he answers, "Nary a one, me Susie-o, but I bought a tin of sardines from the supermarket up Camden Town." And then he sings,
"Oh, heave away, me heart is worn. Pull away, oh, pull me dandole. With a yo and a ha ha with a hey down, daddy down, and me wind blows free."
Thank you, Rambling Sid Rumpo. Oh, yes, thank you.
Not at all.
When I hear you sing like that, it makes me want to throw off the trammels of civilization and belt you one with a Marlin. And now, episode 4 of the Clissold Saga. The story of Beatrice Clissold, that grand old actress, the pure brass of the music hall. Last week I went once again down to her old moss-covered house at Chattering Parver, knocked on her old moss-covered door, which was opened by Spasm, her moss-covered old butler.
White tornado.
Now it's just a trick of the light. I'm Kenneth Horne. Can I speak to your mistress?
No, she be incommunicado.
Well, go and shout through the keyhole and tell her I'm here.
Go back to London, young man. Go home. Get the ants from this accursed place. Go home, I tell ye. Go home.
Do I have to do all this rubbish week after week?
Well, I'm afraid so. It's a sort of running character, you see.
Oh, well.
Go home. Go home, young master. Young master.
Isn't that the Phantom Hound? The Hound of the Counterblasts?
Aye, that he be. See, look there. He be a fearsome sight, dainty. Nearly 8 feet tall he be, with great slavering jaws and fangs and eyes like red hot coals. Here's Spot. Here's Spot. Come and say hello to the nice gentleman. There you are.
Oh! Keep him back. Don't let him get too near me.
I can see he's taken to you. Ah, look at him rolling over.
Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that?
He wants you to rub his phantom belly.
What, like this?
That's right. Go on doing it. That's right. Yeah. Oh, he likes that, you know. Oh, look at his old phantom leg going round like the clappers. He'd be a noble beast, he be. He is. He be.
Where's he gone? He's disappeared.
Ah, he do that often. I think he's gone phantom walkies.
Oh, I see. Haunted house trained, is he? Look, could I see Lady Counterblast? You see, I haven't got all that long.
None of us have. We all be doomed. Doomed. Here.
She's in here.
Lady Counterblast. She's the young master. Doomed, we be all doomed. I've got a touch of the doom.
I think he's been at the metal polish again.
Well, now, Lady Counterblast, I've been fascinated by the stories you've told me so far. You've known many famous men, haven't you?
Many men. Many, many men. Many, 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 many men. Many. But of all the husbands I've had, that one that sticks in my mind, not to mention my craw, was Sir Arnold Mollus.
Sir Arnold Mollus, the archaeologist. You mean the man who excavated the tombs of the early Egyptian kings?
Yes, indeed, Mr. Horne. I married him in 1922, and we went out to Egypt, and together we excavated many tombs. Many, many tombs. Many, many,
but,
many
tombs. But I believe that one such excursion ended in disaster.
Oh, yes. You are referring, of course, to the curse of Tutanasa.
That's right.
Yes, we had pitched camp by an oasis. Oh, dear, small dedicated group. Professor Tippett, who led the expedition. My husband and I.
Can't we turn back, Professor?
We must go on. Tomorrow we'll be at the tomb of Tutanasa. Take heart, Mollus.
I think I've got a touch of the beriberi.
Well, never mind. When we get back to Europe, you can go to Baden-Baden for the cure-cure.
Chips!
Why do you say that, dearest?
Not allowed to mention flies on the BBC. But the camel drivers say that whoever opens the mummy's tomb will be struck down by the curse. They've deserted us. Go on back to Cairo.
Shh. There's someone outside the tent.
So that is. A strange lumpy figure in a camel hair coat.
Who is it?
It's a camel. There are two Arabs riding it. They're getting off.
They're coming towards us.
Salutations, Effendi. Mere crops not be devoured by locusts. May your herds multiply. And may your concubines bring joy to your heart. And may laughter tinkle in your tents.
Yes. And with regard to your crops and concubines, etc., 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 I hope they find you as it leaves me, yours faithfully, Arnold Mollusk.
Even so, and may your joys be as numerous as the grains of sand, you
oh,
see.
Not another one. What are you trying to say?
Would you like to buy some postcards?
Certainly not. No, not the wife here.
Ah, this is your wife. Oh, she's radiant. A desert flower, a pearl of incomparable price.
No, that's the professor.
Just a trick of the light. Now, look, what do you want of us?
We hear that you are looking for the tomb of Tutanasa. We are guides. Perhaps we can help you. Our card.
Thank you. Desert holidays, guided tour eggs, single Bedouins in every tent. Constant hot sand, chauffeur-driven camels. Our speciality, tombs defiled. Well, that's just what we're looking for. So, you can lead us to the tomb of Tutanasa. What price are you asking?
Well, in the desert, money is of no use. We barter. What have you got?
We've only got a camel.
This is more than enough. We'll have that. All right, George, shop.
One camel, I'll just ring it up. Right now, I'm afraid you'll have to have your change in goats.
No. Keep the change. The only way my pocket's down. Now that's settled, we ride at dawn.
For 3 days and nights, our little caravan filed across the desert. We had only one end in view, that of the camel in front. But then, on the morning of the fourth day, we arrived at our destination, the great pyramid of Tutanasa.
Here, Effendi.
You sure it's the right tomb?
Oh, yes, Master. See the hieroglyphics on the wall.
What do they say, Mollusk? You're the expert.
Let me see now. What's this word? It's spelt duck, crocodile, sacred maiden. That's Egyptian for pharaoh. I say, Nefertiti, what's the difference between the back end of a sacred hippopotamus and a letterbox? Nefertiti, I don't know. Pharaoh, well, in that case, I won't ask you to post my pools coupons. So we've found it!
What have we found?
The riddle of the Sphinx.
I don't wish to know that. Kindly leave the desert.
Not before I've opened the tomb.
And did not open this tomb, Effendi. For is it not written that he who desecrates the tomb of Tutanasa shall be stricken with the mummy's curse and shall be consumed by the seven plagues? Fire, scorpions, locusts, serpents, hail, vermin, and cramp in the knees. And is it not also written by the high priest of Ides?
Is it?
No, I just made it up.
Nevertheless, there is a curse on the tomb.
I don't care. We've come all this way. I'm not turning back now. I'm going in. Give me a hand with this door. Oh, heavens. It's incredible in here. You'll never guess what I found. I've just found...
Poor Arnold. He was quite dead.
The curse of the mummy had struck.
Yes. We found him lying there with an asp clasped in his grasp.